something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled, Priesthood and Sacrifice.
Hallelujah. If we are priests, then we have responsibilities every day. And we are told that our sacrifices are spiritual. They are spiritual. There's a reason they're spiritual. Now, the priests of the Old Testament offered animals and other gifts. People brought all kinds of things. And they offered these things to God as sacrifices every day. Can you imagine the number of animals that had to die continually? Praise God. But you see, that had to be done regularly. But this was in the order, the Aaronic order. And it was powered by the law. And we come in from the order of Melchizedek. You say, who's Melchizedek? Okay. Yeah, some are asking, who's Melchizedek? Because I've mentioned Melchizedek 3 times now. And if you're a young Christian, you haven't heard of Melchizedek, you say, well, who is that? Well, Melchizedek was a man who one time in the book of Genesis suddenly showed up. He just showed up. And the great patriarch Abraham, when he saw Melchizedek while he was coming from the slaughter of the king, he had gone to war. Abraham had gone to war and he won the battle. He had slain 5 kings. And now on his way back, this man, Melchizedek, suddenly appeared to Abraham with bread and wine. And Abraham recognized something about this Melchizedek. And the Bible says he was the priest of the Most High God. And the great Abraham bowed before him and gave him a tithe of all the spoils that he had taken from war. He paid the tithes to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God who delivered you from your enemies. You know, he blessed Abraham and disappeared. And nothing anymore was said about Melchizedek. Nothing about his father or mother or children. Nothing, except that he was the king of Salem, king of righteousness. He was interpreted king of righteousness and king of peace. So who was he? We talk about Theophanies and Christophanies. All right? Those are references to appearances, divine appearances of God, or when they say Christophany, they're talking about the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and these things that revealed God, this divine personality before the incarnation. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Paul was the only one who really talked again about this great Melchizedek, apart from the psalmist who who uttered God's word, God's prophetic word about Jesus Christ being made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? But then Melchizedek was therefore said to have an endless life, an endless priesthood. So Bible scholars would say that this was the appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. All right? They would say so. But there's more to that. Hallelujah. And I don't want to go too deep into that, but you understand what I'm talking about. Who was Melchizedek? I'm trying to let you know who he was. But this great Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ, and that's the simplest way to put it for you, was a type of Christ, the priest of the Most High God, was the one that we are said to have the same priesthood after, because he was established by the power of an endless life. Praise the Lord. So we are called in the order of Christ. Now, let me show you something else which will help you get this a little more clearly. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. Go straight to verse 47. Want to go? Remarkable portion of the Bible. Read that 47th verse one more time.
The first man is from the earth, heaven. The second man is Lord from heaven.
Now listen, he's making a distinction between the first man, Adam, and the second man, whom he calls the last Adam. He calls him the second man, or he calls him the last Adam. Now that's to let us know there's not going to be another Adam, okay? So he says the first Adam and then the second and last Adam. Praise God for that. All right. Now he talks about the first Adam and he says it's of the earth's ethi. He was made from the dust. He was a man who was put here to be terrestrial. And then it says the second man is the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we talk about the new creation. There's a first creation headed by Adam, and then there's the second creation, the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, this new creation is headed by Jesus Christ. He was the first to be born again. He was born again the day that he was raised from the dead. That's what the Bible says. It says, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. See that? You know, when I was a spiritual child, people, when I would go to preach to people, and they would say, you want us to be born again. Even Jesus himself was not born again. Then I would say, well, he didn't need to be born again. That's why he was not born again. I was wrong. I didn't know it because I didn't know the scriptures. But I thought it was a nice answer. I thought Jesus was so righteous, never needed to be born again. But I was wrong. No matter how nice it sounded. The truth was, Jesus needed to be born again. You say, why? He never committed any sin. Yes, he never did. The reason he needed to be born again was because he was put on the cross in our place. Our sins were laid on him. The Bible says, him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Our sins were laid on Jesus. So when he died a sinner's death. He died the death of a condemned man. He was condemned in my place. And so he went to hell. When he died, he went to hell. He didn't go to heaven. He went to hell. Somebody says, oh, but he said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. No. He went first to hell. And that rendering of this day shall thou be with me in paradise, you know, The King James rendering is particularly misleading, because he said, "I say to you, today shall thou be with me in paradise." The punctuations were wrongly placed. What he said was, "I say to you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You get it? All right. So, what we're saying here is, Jesus Christ really needed to be born again, because he became sin for us and he was buried in our place. So he went to hell in our place. And he had to fight the devil and the cohorts of hell in our place. And the Bible records that he threw them off of him in our place and became victorious over Satan in our place. And when he was done with them, the Bible says he led captivity captive. So he came out of hell and out of the grave. And the Bible says when he arose, he came up with a newness of life. And that life is what he makes available to us today. Praise God forevermore. So that's why he had to be born again.
The Loveld Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Loveld Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Loveld Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy, Gounder Apology 1, Minimode Carrefour Côte d'Azur. Worship with us on Sunday by 9 a.m., Wednesday by 6 p.m., and Friday by 6 p.m. for inquiries or to share your testimony with us. Please call +237-676-278-413. Or email us at info@loveworldradiantworks.org.
This is the continuation of the message, Priesthood and Sacrifice.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And verse 5. "Ye also as living stones," King James is lively, "are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." He says that we are living stones. We're God's building. It's a spiritual house, he says. And each one of us is a vital member of that building. Stones. Rocks. So you see, it wasn't only Peter who was to be a stone, a rock. Each one of us is a living stone. Hallelujah. "Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in ministry, a responsibility in Christ. And we should wake up to that responsibility. We are the ones expected to win the world for Jesus Christ. You know that? We are the ones to win the world. And we have to do everything that's necessary to reach the world. Our concerns must be his concerns. That is to say, what he's concerned about is what we should be concerned about. What he cares about is what we should care about. Otherwise, What is life but emptiness? Life is nothing without God's purpose. I mean, think about it. You're here today. Your great-great-great-great-grandfather was here. Where is he? He's gone. Then the next one came. Gone. Then the next one came. Gone. Then the next one. Until finally got to you. So question is, hey, what are we doing here? That's why Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So your purpose for life is very important. You should be definite as to your purpose for life. Why are you here? Have you found a reason for your being? Do you know most people live their lives without ever discovering why they were born? They just walk through life, live an empty life, and all they think about is themselves. That's all they think about. I don't think of a worse life than the life of a selfish man who thinks about himself only. All his prayers are about himself. You, your family, your job. Everything's you, you, you. All your needs have to do with you, 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 you. That's an empty life. Live for a reason. Live for a reason. You know, sometimes I get concerned about the fact that in our nation particularly, there's almost no such thing as patriotism, you know. We don't care about our country. Terrible. Because we weren't raised to care. We weren't raised that way. So we don't care. So everyone who gets into politics or into government gets in for what he can get for himself. As a result of that, we bring that also into Christianity. Where all we do is, we think that, like I told you the other day, many people think God exists for them. They think God lives for them. All right? They don't think of the fact that they exist for God. They think that God is there for them. So when someone gets into a political office, we think, okay, now that you are there, remember us. And that remember us, you're talking about cousins and, you know, relatives. They all come around. And if he doesn't steal from the government to give to them, they think he's crazy. If you get into a political office and you don't make enough money to get out with a lot, you look like you're a fool. So people don't really get into politics or into government to do something for our nation. They get in there to get something for themselves. So it's become a culture. It's a way of life. It's a terrible way of life. See, the problem with it is not the country in itself. The problem with it is what you become. The character of your personality when you live that way. You become less than you were raised to be. Less than you were born to be. You know, so when we bring it into Christ, we find ourselves doing the same thing. If we could use God to get what we wanted, we would use him. I've said several times before that if anybody in this country knew where to get the certificate of ownership for all of the land of Nigeria, he would have sold it a long time ago. If one person had it. It's a terrible feeling. I'm serious. Terrible feeling. Terrible feeling. The reason we are that way is because we were brought up to be that way. That's what I mean. We're consciously and unconsciously brought up to be that way. And so that's the reason for the thuggery. We have thugs to help us get elected, to make sure nobody votes. You understand? I mean, it's terrible. In many countries, they're trying to make sure that people vote. We have people here to make sure you don't vote. But you see, they don't know what they are doing to themselves. So let's come to this subject. Now, I said, what do we do for God? We want to get God to do something for us all the time. Oh, God, answer my prayer. God, do this for me. Do this for me. Oh, God, I need this and I need that and I need that. What do you do for God? What is your own responsibility? Oh, somebody says, well, my responsibility is to have faith to get something. Again, you want to use God. You're just having faith so that you can get God to do something for you. No. No. Turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I read something to you the other day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see that? He died for all. So that, now he says he died for all, and if he died for all, then we all died. But then he died for us so that we who live should no longer live unto ourselves, but live unto him. Live unto him. You cannot just be a Christian to get God's blessings. You cannot just be a Christian to have your prayers answered, to have a nice life for yourself. No. You're going to have to stick out your neck for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said certain things about his life while he was persecuted so much. He said he was persecuted more than the other apostles. He says, and some of the others were afraid to be persecuted. They were afraid to stick out their necks for the gospel of Christ among the Jews. So when he went to Jerusalem to visit, they called him. The other apostles called him. They called Paul. They said, you know, there are many Jews who believe and they are zealous of the law. And Paul was wondering, why are they zealous of the law? They're not supposed to be keeping the law now. The gospel has come. Christ has died. Christ has arisen. Christ has ascended. Why are they keeping the law? Oh, they said, you know, we don't want to stay up the waters. Now, what we want you to do is to shave your head and join those that have a vow. And so when you go to the temple, the crowd will see you there. And once they see that you are shaven, they will know that you also keep the law. And there will be peace. He said, it's okay. So he shaved his head and went with the others to the temple. When somebody recognized him, he screamed and said, this is Paul. He's the one that has been troubling all the Jews, saying that we should not keep the law. He raised his voice against Paul, and the crowd came and they took Paul. They wanted to kill him because of his message. They were zealous to keep the law. But the law had been abolished, and they wanted to keep it.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy, Gounderbology One, Minimode Carrefour Cote d'Azur. Worship with us on Sunday by 9 a.m., Wednesday by 6 p.m., and Friday by 6 p.m. for inquiries or to share your testimony with us. Please call +237-676-278-413 or email us at info@loveworldradiantworks.org.